So our study this evening is going to be in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. So if I can ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be reading from chapter 5 verse 1 to the end of verse 16. Well, actually, make that 17. So that's Ephesians 5, 1 to the end of verse 17. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be at once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so much in these verses, aren't they? Just packed full of practical application for us, God's dear children. And today's focus, we're going to be focusing on, will be that 15th and 16th verse. And particular verse is the redeeming the time, and how precious time is for us. Children of God, time is so precious to us, isn't it? But before we get on to that 15th and 16th verse, I would like just to have a very brief overview of the first 14 verses, starting from 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. And we have here the Apostle Paul's exhortation for mutual love. God has loved us, has he not? He has redeemed us with his precious blood. And aren't we so thankful, a people, that he has done that? He has come from the glorious courts of heaven, and he sought us when we are lost sheep from the flock. And so he has given his life for us, a perfect sacrifice. He underwent so much for us, even the cruel cross of Calvary. And we are in return to love him. And the time that he has given us in return is to follow him. And as Christian believers, we are to be followers of God. And that is the opposite of what we used to be prior to conversion. We used to be completely full of our own time, completely full of our own selfishness and pride, living for the here and now, what we thought was right. And some things, I suppose, were good in employment and other aspects. But prior to our conversion, time wasn't an issue, was it? We spent it how we wanted to. But Paul here is exhorting for us to not copy what our neighbours are doing, or what society tells us to do, or even what the state tells us to do. But we are to be followers of God, as children who depend upon their parents for guidance, instruction and keeping. So we depend upon our Lord for these things, don't we? And we were praying about the little children in church, don't we? See Abigail, we see the little ones, so cute, and they're walking along. And then all of a sudden they realise mummy's not around, or daddy's not around. And you see them kind of rushing off to mum or dad. And that's how we are to be, really, aren't we? We are little children, aren't we? And, you know, we need to utterly depend upon our Lord and follow him and cleave to him, as it were, as children of the Lord. And what better way for us to walk than to follow him who have truly loved us and gave himself for us and has loved us like no other has loved us and given himself for us. We are to walk in God's ways, following Christ as our own example, and not in the world's ways. And if so be that we be followers of God, it will manifest itself in our love and obedience to his word, won't it? It is the doers of God's word that are justified in his sight. So now let's look at verses 3 to 7. The Apostle Paul, read verses 3 to 7 of Ephesians 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So the Apostle Paul here infers that we are not to walk as the pagans do, as unbelievers do, as though Christ has had no effect upon our souls. We are not to walk as we did in our pre-conversion days. There has to be a change in one's life. And there will be many people, even those who will call themselves spiritual or sometimes even Christians, who will try to deceive us through vain words. And we are called not to be partakers of those who openly or secretly reject Christ through how they live their lives in unbelief. Let us now look at verses 8 to 14, leading up to 15 and 16, which will be our focus. So 8 to 14, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And so Paul here exhorts us to walk as dear children of light, beloved of the Father, redeemed, bought with a price. Being beloved children of the Most High means we have been adopted into a kingdom of light. And I remember growing up in South Africa in Fishhoek, my parents once took me up to Fishhoek Mountain, and they had a cave that went right through the mountain. It was exciting as a young lad to go into this cave, never been into a cave like that, and went right through the mountains, an hour long journey right through the cave, and you go up the other side of the mountain. And to begin with, as a young boy, I was very excited to go, in expectation. And then sort of 5 minutes in the cave, started getting very dark, and then it got narrower and wet at times, and quite scary really. And after a time of being in there, sometimes crawling through particular aspects of the cave, I couldn't wait to get out. I just couldn't wait, because you kind of think, when's this going to end? And you go deeper and deeper into the cave. But eventually, coming out of that cave, come 50 minutes and an hour or so, there was a speck of light right at the end of the cave. And just remember that light getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And almost all of us were so eager to get out of the cave. And that's what we are to be as believers. We are to be following that light, looking at the goal of our reward in heaven, redeeming the time, having that desire, saying, this is only going to be a short time. And so we need to run that race, run towards the Lord, to be those children of light. And we can only walk as children of light if we cherish and savour God's word. Thy word is a light and a lamp unto my path. So that brings us to our focus verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So thus, to help us aid our study this evening, we have the three walks to consider, the three different walks to sum up what we've read from 1 to 16. So the first walk to consider is to walk in God's ways, to walk in God's ways, to be followers of God. The second walk to consider is to walk as children of light, those who have been redeemed, who have been bought with a price. And so because the Lord has shed his mercy upon us, he has loved us from the foundations of the world, he has saved us and he has drawn us with those cords of love, and therefore we walk as children of light. We don't walk as those who have fellowship with the darkness and the unfruitful deeds thereof. And thirdly, we walk as those who are wise. We walk as those who follow Christ. Secondly, those who walk as children of light. And thirdly, we walk as those who are wise. And that is part of the sanctification process, isn't it? And as further we go on our Christian pilgrimage, the Lord sanctifies us. He brings those things in our life. And we realize that the old man is still there, but we need not feed that flesh, the old sinful habits. And we dare not do it as we get older and older and older. So we become aware of those things more, and they become more and more evident in our lives. So we walk very carefully, redeeming the time. And we walk wise because we realize that the Lord has had a great effect upon our souls, and it's of great importance to a needy world. So let's first look at that 15th verse. It says that we are to walk circumspectly. And in the Greek, it means exactly. To walk exactly, accurately, diligently, in the right way. So it's already saying here, the way you used to walk wasn't right. But walk accurately, according to God's word, the rule for your life. We may have our opinions as men and women, but God's word has the final court of appeal. To walk accurately according to his word. His word is the light and lamp unto our path. It is the perfect way. However, we are not born accurate people, are we? We're born wayward, naturally. We're born in sin, David says in the Psalms. We know that first we need to become followers of God through that great transaction, that great experience of being born again in Christ. And as children of light, we are then directed into all truth and righteousness. We then understand that it is impossible to maintain purity and holiness of heart and life without great circumspection and care. So we need to be very, very careful in our Christian walk. We cannot be those who are ignorant of Satan's devices. We have to be walk circumspectly, very carefully. And Satan would have us use these evil days we live in for his service. And would we be complicit with this? So we have to be absolutely careful. So dear beloved of God, are we not thankful that we have God's word? And in other countries, people are persecuted. They would almost die just for having a page of their word. And it turns the careless into the careful. It turns the ignorant into the discerning. And as we grow in the faith and we learn to be wise, discerning Christians, not fashioning ourselves according to our former lusts, we start to walk circumspectly, and we're aware that the world is not our friend, and that we are not to be friends with the world and the evil systems of the world, but we are to be followers of Christ, followers of God. So we are to walk circumspectly, carefully. And the illustration I have in mind is a cat. Seen a cat when it rained and it was muddy, and the cat was walking outside very carefully, trying not to get its paws muddy and wet, and it was almost sort of tiptoeing around very carefully, avoiding the mud and the wet. And that's what the Christian has to be like. The mud and the earth of this world will soon taint our profession. And we have to walk ever so carefully, especially walk in wisdom to those who are without. And to walk circumspectly is to avoid those old habits and darling sins we know deep down we are prone to, and avoid them like the plague. Colossians 4:5 reads, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." And have we not learned by experience the folly of not walking circumspectly? And I can say that during my Christian walk, there have been times, to my shame, that I've been so careless and so ignorant of the way I've wasted time away. And I just praise the Lord that he has taken me out of such careless times, and he has helped me. And I'm sure that you can say the same in your lives. There are times where you think, wow, you know, how careless was I to walk in such a way? And the Lord has helped me and has shed light on those things which were wrong in my life. And reproofs are the way of life, aren't they, as a believer? You know, if we're not being challenged by God's word, something is wrong, isn't there? God's word has to challenge us, has to stir us up, has to encourage us to keep on moving forward. There's no middle ground as a believer. Have we not learnt by the experience of this to avoid certain places, entertainments, peoples, conversations that will bring us down? And so we are to walk circumspectly, carefully. In 1 John 1, verse 5, 6 and 7, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And we are not to walk as those which the scriptures describe in earlier verses. Paul's describing those. And perhaps the Apostle Paul, when seeing the Ephesians again, coming to, perhaps he noticed some of those old habits creeping back in to the church at Ephesus. And he exhorted the people. Perhaps he saw some of those old things which they used to do in their pagan days, the days before. And so he exhorts them really that they are not right, and encourages them to be followers of God. And so we owe this loyalty to our Maker. We should not neglect our high and holy calling. Circumspect walking is the effect of true wisdom, but the contrary is the effect of folly. And have we grasped that we are called and commissioned people? We are called, aren't we? We are commissioned. And we are bought with a price. And we do not walk as fools in all ways, having no understanding of our great commission or our duty towards God, or as fools who do not know the worth of our souls. We read earlier that we are not to have fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather we are to reprove them. We ought to walk as those who have been made wise in Christ, being taught of God. Now then, let us look at that 16th verse, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that word, redeeming the time, those words, redeeming the time, means literally in the Greek, buying the opportunity. And it is a metaphor taken from merchants and traders who diligently observe and improve the seasons for trade. So you can imagine, if you were a trader back in those days, or a merchant, and you had a whole lot of crops, or you wanted a whole lot of crops, you would, and perhaps they had to come from far, perhaps the spices had to be shipped over, or whatever it may have been, the particular oils, or whatever it may have been. And so an exchange needs to happen. And so they would have had to exchange money or goods, and it would have been months or even years before they saw a profit. We have here an exchange that takes place, buying the opportunity. And this is true with us. We have to buy the opportunity God has given us. The time we have left, the only reason why we have any time left, is because there's still needy souls to be saved, isn't there? So the time doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Christ if we're His. And we need to exchange the way we live our life, the selfishness, and we all have it. Each and every one of us have that selfishness, and that pride within needs to be daily mortified. And so we need to exchange that, give up any selfishness, any time that we have, and buy it back. Seek whatever we can do, whatever time we have, to use it for the Lord. And how we use our time is important. It shouldn't be different. It should be different to how the world uses its time. Completely different to the world uses its time. But the world always tries to keep us in its time frame. Tries to make us more like it and how it uses its time. So the subject, I understand that the subject of someone's time can be quite an offensive one, and so I'm trying to choose my words very carefully. Because you could say, oh, hold on a second, my time can, you're kind of getting into my comfort zone here a little bit. But the time is important. Time is biblical, how we use our time. So therefore an exchange needs to happen. Our great Redeemer gave His life for us, and we are bought with a price. The time that God has given us is to be spent on good and worthy things. Redeeming the time, buying the opportunity, an exchange has to take place. So we are to buy the opportunities the Lord gives us, to make the most of the days we spend, especially because the days are evil. And a Christian will redeem the time and make the best use of it. The Christian will seize on opportunities of the moment the Lord gives and take advantage of them. To redeem the time is to acquire something by purchase. So giving up of a complacent attitude, whatever will be, will be. This is the world's way of thinking, isn't it? Whatever will be, will be. It will all work out in the end. And so we are to give up any of these things, keep on mortifying them. And as we are children of the light and so directed by his word, let us redeem the time, because redeeming the time is a remedy against sin, isn't it? How do we overcome evil? By good. That's how we overcome evil, by doing good. And of course we can only do that through Christ. So redeeming the time is a remedy against sin. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night. We know lots of crimes committed in the night, is it not? Thefts and promiscuity and lots of other things. Lots of awful things happen in the night. But we are called the children of the day for a reason. And let us assess how we are spending our time and how it can be improved for Christ's glory, but also for the avoidance of temptations. Redeeming the time means we need to be aware of those old time-wasting habits and sins. And the Bible has so many instances right throughout the Old Testament, doesn't it, as well? We think about David. What was David doing when he saw Bathsheba? And there's so many instances where the Lord shines a spotlight on even the greatest of saints and shows us practical applications we can apply to our life. Was he redeeming the time, or did he allow that idle thought to continue while he was viewing that? Have a second, third look. Redeeming the time. Things like excessive exercise or sleep, unprofitable hobbies, excessive feasting, too much television or TV games for children. And think about it. If we spend our time carelessly, how many countless souls are perishing in their sin? Then would we be in ease in Zion? It should never be said of the Christian, "I am bored." The Christian should never say, "I am bored." Let us not have a casual approach to time. We need to think, why has God given me this time? Why has God given me this time? What is its ultimate purpose? And it's only because there are still more souls to be saved. And if we have this ever in mind, that the Lord can come in an hour, he can come in 5 minutes, or tomorrow, before I wake up, he can come. And would I waste that hour, or that 2 hours, or 3 hours, in doing this folly, or that folly, or sometimes we can spend time with things which are not evil, intrinsically evil in themselves. But they are time wasters. So when idle or vain thoughts enter in our mind, do we repent of them, or do we dwell on them? And as the psalmist puts it, "I hate vain thoughts." Redeeming the time. We can redeem the time at home, can't we? All of us can redeem the time at home. Fathers and mothers, are you leading your families in family Bible studies? As we're learning more about the hymn writers, and we see the hymn writers and the time they spent at home, not just in the church and witnessing, but at home, how they redeem the time daily, leading their children in family worship, speaking, asking questions, challenging them, encouraging them, keeping them busy in the things of the Lord. And for those who are not parents, but perhaps grandparents or retired or senior members of the church, we know there's always work to be done, isn't there? There's always other believers to encourage. You can be a prayer warrior on your knees, redeeming the time. And you can be encouraging the elderly, the senior women. You could be encouraging the younger women to be lovers of their husbands, to be keepers of the home, to encourage those who are following God's precepts, and then to encourage them to not to if there are things in their life which seem wrong, to encourage them to follow God's ways. And we need that from our senior members, because they are the hoary heads in our society. We need that input and that encouragement. And we can all do something. We can all redeem the time. Romans 8:13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So our Christian walk, our Christian daily routine, we are exhorted to resemble, to honour God every day in this. And we can redeem the time at church, can't we? By spending more time in the means of grace, by being under God's most precious word. Also, when we're at church, to be talking more about the things of God. To be talking to those who are unbelievers, who are families that have come in, children like Ben and other children that have come in our midst. We need to be asking them questions and encouraging them and talking to them, not just giving them lessons, but actually speaking to them about the things of the Lord and discussing the weightier matters. And we can all partake of this, each and every one of us. We can all do these things, redeeming the time. We can also redeem the time in our witness, can't we? Whether that's the postman that comes to the door, or whether we go out shopping, or wherever the Lord takes us in our daily duties, we can redeem the time, can't we? We can give a tract to someone. We can have a word to someone. There's always something to do for the Lord. We can redeem the time in our witness and our discipleship. And we can also redeem the time gladly, can't we? And so often, and I'm guilty of this, so often when life gets busy and stressful, sometimes formality takes over, doesn't it? And sometimes we can come to church perhaps a bit down, a bit long-faced, and perhaps we can forget that we need to have that joy in our hearts so that others can see that joy and so that attracts others. I'm not saying there's a false sense of joy for us to put on almost like a show, but that inner joy in our hearts that we are around God's people and we're worshipping the Lord. So we have to have that inner joy. And we need to pray, Lord, that the Lord never takes that inner joy from us. We need to guard our zealousness for the Lord, because Satan will want to turn us into a lethargic people and people that come and are, you know, we need to be so careful to be zealous and to guard that and not come reluctantly. And if the things that we do and the time spent has just become another formality, the devil can use this spiritual lethargicness to give the wrong impression to those whom we seek to point to Christ. It is a great part of a Christian's wisdom to redeem the time. We know why, because the days are evil. Just if the days were evil back then, they are certainly more evil nowadays. And discerning Christians need to be good husbands of their time by doing good while it is in the power of their hands to do so. And of course, depending utterly upon the Lord and by filling it with proper employment. Redeem the time means we need to be aware of those old pre-conversion habits that we used to enjoy. Redeem the time means that we are not to be independent-minded from how God instructs us to use our time. And this can all happen to us. We might have things in our life, perhaps a particular craft or particular thing, and which takes up a lot of time. And again, these things in themselves are not bad things, but if we are doing so much of them that it takes us away from actually doing things which are eternally good for our souls, then they do become a hindrance. So it will always cost us to redeem the time. There's always an exchange that takes place when we do redeem the time. It will cost us to put to death our selfishness and our pride. And it will hurt. It does hurt, redeeming the time. And it will cost us what people think of us, because we'll be reproached. Will be often be spoken bad about. We will redeeming the time will make us not wanting to be involved in certain activities or things. It will cost the believer, but the reward outweighs all these things. And God's word says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity of God?" And Amos 6:1 says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "For us to be followers of God, therefore we should not be followers of how the world uses its time. We are beloved children that are dear to our Maker. And let no man deceive you with vain words that make light of sin, that make light of living a casual, carefree Christian life, being at ease in Zion. And such disobedient children can expect the wrath of God upon them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Why? Because we were sometimes in darkness, but now we are the children of light, are we not? We are the children of light. And if so be that we are the children of light, let us walk as children of light. Let us awake from any complacent attitudes that I have, that you may have, and that we may walk, that we have towards time, and ask Christ for his help in ensuring that we redeem as much of our time as possible for his glory. Richard Baxter, the Puritan, says, "Living a holy life is made easier when we know our duties, where everything full and unto its proper place." And he gives the following brief directions in spending the day in a holy manner. These are Richard Baxter's a few pointers on brief directions in spending a day in a holy manner. First of all, sleep. Measure the time of your sleep appropriately so that you do not waste your precious morning hours sluggishly in your bed. Let your time of your sleep be matched to your health and labor, and not to slothful pleasure. First thoughts. Let God have your waking first thoughts. Familiarize yourself in this routine so that your conscience will check you if common thoughts intrude. Very practical things. Third point, prayer. Ensure prayer is done by oneself alone before prayer is done with family. If possible, let it be first before any other work of the day. Fourthly, family worship. Let family worship be done consistently at a time when the family will have less interruptions. Ultimate purpose. Remember your ultimate purpose. When you set yourself to your day's work or approach any activity in the world, let holiness to the Lord be written upon your hearts, upon all that you do. And then diligence in your calling. Diligence in your calling. Follow the task of your calling carefully and diligently. You will show that you are not the servants to your flesh. Ease and idleness feeds fleshly lusts. Keep out idle thoughts from your mind. You will not waste precious time, something that idle persons are guilty of. You will walk in obedience to God when the slothful are in constant sins of omission. More time to spend in holy duties. Idle persons have no time for praying or reading because they lose time loitering at the work or on profitable recreational activities. Being diligent in your calling will also encourage the health of your body, which will increase its confidence for the service of your soul. And lastly, his last pointer is temptations and things that corrupt. Be thoroughly acquainted with your temptation and things that may corrupt against you, and watch against them all the day long. Watch for those most dangerous of things that corrupt you, that sin corrupts you, and those temptations within your daily business which unavoidably will lay before you. And we have Christ as our example, don't we, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? He redeemed the time. His perfect sacrifice. He bought us back. And so we belong to him. And he turned us from following the world to himself, from walking in darkness to walking in God's ways as dear children of light. And how thankful we are for that, aren't we? From being careless with our time to being wise with our time, making every opportunity to use it for His glory. And in Luke 10:27-28, a certain lawyer said to the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself." And the Lord asked him a question. And Jesus answered this to the lawyer, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." This do, and thou shalt live. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, with all your time, with all your faculties, with all your strength. Absolutely, utterly to the Lord. Love Him with everything that you've got. Ask the Lord, "Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we take these things to heart, to walk circumspectly, carefully, diligently, redeeming the time for His glory alone." Amen.
Amen.
Amen.